Good afternoon. Okay. So we're looking at the topic of God, our Father, our provider and protector. And the first thing I want to say is our biggest kind of provision from God was Jesus. Yes? However, that's not where I'm going to focus. It should be on. Yes, is it? So Jesus is definitely the best provision from God ever, but it's not where we're putting our focus this afternoon. We're going to look at four things that God does, or four ways that God provides and protects, and what our response should be. And I am very confident that another time we will focus on Jesus as God's provision for us. So we are starting with an illustration from the book of Job. So the really quick version of this story is, Job was a really good guy who loved God. And Satan claimed that Job only loved God because of all the good things Job had been given. And Satan said, if you take away all the good things, Job will reject God. And so Satan was allowed by God to take away Job's wealth and health and hope for the future. And Job was left with nothing but a complaining wife, accusing friends, and silence from God. And a stubborn faith. And in chapters 38 to 41, God speaks. He does not speak words of comfort like we might expect. And I'm going to summarise some of the things, or paraphrase some of the things God says in in chapter 38. But feel free to have a look at it at home. She's on the ball. Okay, so God says things like, who are you to talk about things that you have no knowledge of? Do you understand how the world was made? Were you there when I made it? Do you command the waters in the sea or the clouds? Do you determine the boundaries of the sea? Or do you command the rising and the setting of the sun? Can you make it snow or hail? Do you decide when and where it rains? Do you send the storms? Are you the father of the rain and the dew and the ice? Did you put the stars in their place? Do you control and understand what happens in space? And do the natural elements come to you to get their instructions? Do you get to tell the weather what to do? Do you ensure the wild animals have food? Now, I kind of feel sorry for Job because he's a good guy and he doesn't really seem to have spoken against God. But he gets a crash course in appreciating God's wonder and majesty and all-consuming power. God makes it very clear to Job that it is God who holds things together, that it is God who sustains the earth and everything in it. Everything that lives on the earth lives so only because of God's continuing goodness and power in sustaining the earth as it is. It's only because God controls the sun and the moon and the stars. And so my first thing is God is continually working to protect and provide behind the scenes as he sustains all of creation. And I'm sure that many of us who grew up with good parents can appreciate all the work and the love and the care that they did behind the scenes. As children growing up, you don't realize it. And you don't appreciate what your parents do because you're busy playing and exploring and growing. And I believe the same is true for us with God. Much of the time, we are unaware of all the ways that God is continuing to protect and provide for us because we're busy going about our daily lives. And we take that care for granted. Go back to Job for a moment. Do you know what his response was to God? Well, he acknowledged that he really didn't know what was happening and how God was doing things. He didn't understand why he was suffering and others were prospering. And he repented. He turned away from trying to figure it out. He said, I don't know it and it's not my job to know it. He said, I've seen you and I've heard you, Lord, and that's enough. And I think by the end of the book, Job has found a different place in the world. He's looking at things differently. And so I want to put it to you this afternoon that God, our Father, provides in ways that we often do not see and do not appreciate until we're in trouble. We take for granted the care of our good Father. But actually, it's really good for us to take some time to stop and thank God for all that he's done, to be amazed and worship him for all that he has done in creation and all that he continues to do. Because God continues to do good for us. Why? Here's my second point. It's because God is good. God is love. God's character is the reason why he protects and provides. It's out of love for what God has made that God provides and protects. And that doesn't change when his children do wrong or when they're too little to offer anything of value, because protecting and providing is just what God does. And in the prayers, Helen kindly read 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7, where it talks about love is patient, kind, etc. It always protects, trusts, hopes, perseveres. That is what love does. It's what God does. God loves, and therefore God protects and provides. It can't be any other way. And I want to give you another illustration from the book of Jonah, because Jonah had to learn this lesson. So not only did Jonah learn that God could provide a big fish to swallow him whole and then spit him up on the beach, he also learned that God could provide a leafy plant to provide shade, and a worm to destroy that plant, and a scorching easterly wind and a blazing sun to make Jonah feel faint. And if you read the book of Jonah, you will see that it finishes with God declaring that it's right that he should care about this city of Nineveh, which is the enemies of God's people. God should care about Nineveh and all of the inhabitants, including the animals. Why? Because God made them. And God provided for them a prophet who would turn them to repentance. Because God loves them. And that's what God does when he loves people. And so again, I think that just reiterates that we should worship and give thanks to our great good God. We should recognize that this is who God is. We shouldn't be surprised by it like Jonah was. And nor should we think that we're the only ones that should benefit from God's goodness. We have a good and gracious God who cannot help but protect and provide for what he has made and for what he loves. However, alongside that, third point, God's general provision is one thing, but we also know that God our Father protects and provides and cares for the people that he has chosen. The people that he has chosen to be his own and through whom he shows the rest of the world his character and his love. There is therefore a special kind of protection and care for us as God's people because of our relationship with God. A relationship which is based on love, but that's also based on being known and knowing God. It's not just that God loves us, it's that God invites us to know him and to be known by him. And so we're to learn not just about God, but we're also to draw close to God as he protects and provides for us. And I think when we understand that, we're not surprised when we read these words from Isaiah 30. Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin. They go down to Egypt without consulting me. They look to help for Pharaoh's protection and to Egypt's shade for refuge. But Pharaoh's protection will be to your shame, and Egypt's shade will bring you disgrace. You see, God's protection and provision is not a tool or resource at our disposal. It's not to be used as we see fit, or to be rejected when it doesn't meet our expectations. Because that's kind of what Israel was doing. It had seen a problem, and it looked at the problem and went, I think the best solution is that Egypt comes to help us, because Egypt's big and strong and they can fight our enemies on our behalf. But they had done that without consulting God. They hadn't asked God for help. And they hadn't considered how God would feel if they turned to others for help. Because God is a person with feelings and worthy of respect. I mean, how rude to know the almighty, holy God who can do all things, and yet turn to a nation of people who don't know God for help. Can you imagine how hurt God is by that? There is God saying, I love you and I am for you. I will protect you and care for you. And they say, no, I think we'd rather have help from over there. Thanks very much. You see, the truth is protection cannot be sought from another place without damaging our relationship with our good Father. When we need help, and we will often need help, the first person to go to is our daddy, our Father in heaven. We should not try to cope with it ourselves, and we should not go to other people asking for help unless we've gone to God first, and he's directed and told us who to go to help for. And that leads me on to the fourth way that God provides and protects, and that's through his people, specifically through the prayers of his people. Now, you will find countless psalms where people are crying out to God for help. And they cry out for help for themselves and for other people. And you can read in the letters and the prophets about how God's people cry out to God for help on behalf of themselves and their people and nations. God's people know that help comes from God. And they intercede and they petition God for help. And God answers. Let me read John 17, verses 11 to 16. So this is Jesus praying to his Father shortly before he's arrested and crucified. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. One of the last things Jesus did on this earth was to pray for our protection, and also to pray that we might know the fullness of his joy. But Jesus also continues to intercede and pray for us now. Does anybody else think that's really awesome? I mean, like, how amazing, right? But I want to say this, prayer is not something you do just once. We are taught to keep praying and to persevere in our prayers. We don't pray for protection and provision once and then no more. We are expected to continue calling on God to protect and provide for ourselves and for each other. Not because God doesn't care or that he needs reminding of the problem, but because it teaches us to look in the right place and to the right person for help. Continuing to pray to God for our daily bread and for protection from evil and temptation reminds us that the source of all good things and our hope for the future lies in and with the Lord our God. There are troubles and struggles with which we will need God's help. There is evil and opposition to Christ, and we will need God's help and protection to overcome it. And so it's our job to continue to call out to our wonderful Heavenly Father for help, knowing that he will indeed help us. And so I want to close with us reading Psalm 121 together. Again, Helen, I don't know what you were doing, but you obviously read my mind. it's great, fantastic. God is clearly at work. So we're going to read it together because this is our prayer and this is our confidence. But before that, let me just share with you something that one of my lecturers at university said. So this psalm starts off with, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. And then second line, from where shall my help come from? And she says that she always reads this and goes, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where does my help come from? Why? Because for Israel, over the mountains is where the enemies would come. You look to the mountains and you either see that it's all safe because nothing's there to threaten you, Or you look to the mountains and you go, ha, the enemy's on arriving. Okay. So this is saying, not look to the mountains because God is there. I look to the mountains, and when I see trouble there, I remember that God is my help. Okay, so let's read this together, please. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Amen. That is a psalm and a promise and a confidence that we can have. But we're also going to sing about our hope and our confidence, because we can also say, my God is all I need. Please do stand and sing.